Let's bid a warm winter welcome to our ethicist, Randy Cohen. Randy writes the Ethicist column in the New York Times Magazine, and we've pried him away from his seasonal cheer, which I'm sure he's enjoying, to keep you listeners on the straight and narrow. Hi there, Randy.
Hi, Jackie. I think of you as the mistletoe beneath my holly, or I don't know. I don't know a lot about Christmas.
You may think of me, you know, exactly like that. Our letter today, Randy, comes from Tim Botsko in San Diego, and he writes, I'm a part-time photographer doing event, industrial, and evidence photography. Recently, while driving between Phoenix and San Diego, I was stuck behind a serious accident that had just occurred. Emergency personnel were tending the injured, and a body lay in the road, covered by a blanket, with one hand sticking out. This would have made a very dramatic photograph. Had I been there in the capacity of photojournalist, there would have been no dilemma, but a couple of thoughts kept me from stopping and photographing the scene. Most important, would I have been intruding on the privacy of the victims, even though none would have been identifiable in the photograph? So, Randy, this is definitely a challenging one and an unusual one.
Yes, I think Tim would indeed have been intruding, not on the dead, of course, because they're beyond harm, but certainly on the living, and both the other victims in the accident and their friends and their relatives, both at the moment when he took the picture and in the future when he published it or showed it in some way. But that in itself is not enough reason to forbid his taking the photograph. We all have the right to artistic expression, but in exercising it, he should be mindful of those affected by his actions, that he should ask permission if he can, if it won't destroy the possibilities of the photograph. And if that's too sometimes that in itself is intrusive at the moment when people are actually suffering. So he needn't be governed by those in the photograph, but he should be mindful and sensitive of their feelings.
Does it depend on how the photograph is used later? Is there any justification on that basis?
I think it depends not so much how it's used, but on how good it is. That in a way, this is an aesthetic question as much as it is an ethical one. That if the quality of the resulting work is brilliant and illuminating and sees deeply into the human heart, then that may well be worth the temporary distress of its subjects.
Well, we have Tim Botsko on the line with us. Tim, what do you think of Randy's advice?
Well, he raised the issues that I had considered at the time. I think the consideration of any photographer is how good the image ends up being, and does it project the emotion and the artistic intent that the photographer visualized when taking it, though those were really not my concerns. You know, I think I was being a little more simplistic about the whole thing in terms of, you know, what kind of harm might I bring to these people, even though they wouldn't be identifiable. So I really liked Randy's answer, and I guess the gist of it is that had I felt so inclined, I should have stopped and taken the picture and then made the aesthetic and moral judgments later on based on its quality.
Would that change anything, though, Randy?
No, I think that's very wise. It shows, I think, genuine sensitivity, although it still might disturb those at that moment if they notice you, but it's mindful of their feelings when they see the photograph, and I think that's a wise and humane approach.
I'm thinking, though, of the work, which I'm sure you're both familiar with, of the great 20th century photojournalist Ouija, who certainly photographed people in the moment of being arrested or just after they'd been shot or in some compromising act, and those pictures are considered art, and he must have, and you know, been right in their faces without a long lens and using a flash.
Sure, or Dorothea Lange's pictures of the Depression, where people were caught at moments of utter anguish, and yet are so profound and so moving that we're just enormously grateful that she was able to take them.
I actually considered both of those photographers. You know, Ouija, from what I've read of him, he was very pushy, offended a lot of people, but also left an incredible record of New York at that time that wouldn't have been available had he not had those personality traits. With Dorothea Lange, you know, she was commissioned by the Works Progress Administration to go out and take those photos and to interact with those people. So she was given an opportunity to develop more of a relationship and work with the subjects, you know, and that's not something that presents itself in a split-second crisis situation. So those thoughts ran through my mind, but I don't have the personality of a Ouija and didn't have the time of a Dorothea Lange. There are others like war photographers who have also been in this situation and who get these incredible images of desperate human situations that I think are incredibly informative to the people who view them. And that gives a validity to those photographs and the artistic effort that goes into them that I'm not sure that my efforts of just passing by an accident and taking the photograph would have had.
Right. When are you an artist, and when are you just a voyeur exploiting human suffering and adding to people's misery?
I think you've encapsulated what I was feeling right there.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your question with us, Tim, and for coming on to talk about it. We really appreciate it, and I hope you have a great holiday.
Thank you very much. I hope you both have a good holiday as well.
If you've got a question for The Ethicist, drop us a line at watc@npr.org and put the word ethics in the subject line. Please also include a phone number where we can reach you, and you may be able to pose your problem to Randy Cohen himself. Randy, I want to wish you a really great holiday season. It was nice to talk to you again.
And you, Jackie. Happy holidays.